Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
An award-winning documentary producer is coming to the Knoxville Public Library tomorrow. Let's go in-depth with Craig Dudnick, producer of the landmark civil rights documentary, Alice's Ordinary People. Well, Craig, how did you get started in making documentary films?
After college, I went to work at a TV station in Syracuse, New York. And I was a news photographer and then a photographer field director on a magazine show called PM Magazine. That was an early 80s television program, a syndicated program. And I just had the idea that I wanted to make documentary films. And I started actually my own company called Imagine Productions in 1983. But I didn't go right into making documentaries. I sort of had to work up to that by doing like television commercials and what they called industrial films and sports work. And then finally, I kind of worked my way into that. That was part of the story. The other part of the story was that I was close in college to a woman who I work with in the kitchen at my fraternity. Her name was Mrs. Viola Hillsman. And I decided to move my company back to Chicago in 1984 because it was a bigger market, Chicago, than Syracuse. And Mrs. Hillsman then was 82, and she was caring for two other ladies in her 90s, and her husband was not well either. But she said I could stay in her basement until the apartment across the street became open. Mrs. Hillsman's African American. And so I came there, but her husband got very sick almost several weeks after I got there. He went into the hospital for 3 months. He came home and actually passed away in my arms. And he had asked me before if I might stay on. You know, he didn't say why, but he just felt like he didn't know what was going to happen. And so I stayed with Mrs. Hillsman then for the next 20 years until she died at age 100. She never left the house either. And so that was an entree for me into the African-American community, of which she was a big part of in Evanston. And after she died, I made a full-length documentary about the African-American community in, you know, where she lived, Evanston, Illinois. And it got the attention of Alice Tregay, who was also from Evanston, but a major figure in the Chicago civil rights movement. And she liked the film that I made and then asked me if I could make one about the Chicago movement, which turned into the film I'm going to play at the Knoxville Public Library called Alice's Ordinary People.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with award-winning documentary producer Craig Dudnick. The title of your documentary is Alice's Ordinary People. Tell us.
And Alice picked that title, too. She felt
did she?
Very important.
Well, tell us about Alice.
Well, I actually, the way I got to know Alice was her brother, Sanders, was the first African-American firefighter in Evanston in 1950, and he was in my Evanston film. He was also, by the way, the man who trained Shawnee Davis, the Olympic star. He started the Evanston Speed Skating Club. And Alice had kept all the pictures of Sanders, but I didn't know who she was, you know, when I went to her house and I was using her photographs. And that's when she asked me to take a look at some of her photographs and her papers. And I saw the letters from late Mayor Harold Washington, pictures of Alice with Jimmy Carter and President Clinton and most of the major civil rights figures, the pictures of Alice with Dr. Martin Luther King. And that's when I began to realize that she was a major figure, although I hadn't heard of her before this interaction. And Alice got started marching to desegregate the schools where her children were going. And this was South Shore Chicago in 1963. There were major protests in Chicago. There were two real main battlegrounds. One was for open housing. Housing was segregated. And there not only was just the issue of, you know, the moral issue of segregation, but there just wasn't enough room to handle all the people. The density of the population in the African-American communities to a comparable white area, it was like four times as dense. So it was not a good living situation. So they were fighting to be able to live and to move into other places. That's the open housing fight. And the second fight was over the desegregation of the schools. As white people were moving out of the city, their schools were becoming less crowded, but the black schools were becoming overpopulated. And the answer of the city of Chicago, the superintendent of school, was to build these little shacks, which were called, they called them Willis wagons. They were sheds, additions to the schools, without proper heat or air conditioning in the summer, proper heat in the winter. And this caused massive protests across Chicago, hundreds of thousands of people, including Alice, protesting this. And it also brought Dr. King to Chicago to help them out. And that was when Alice got to start marching with Dr. King. And but it's after Dr. King's death that the civil rights movement became centered in Chicago. And Alice became an integral part of this. It was called Operation Breadbasket. And Alice had the idea that they needed to be involved in politics. So she started a class as part of Breadbasket called Political Education, How to Run a Political Campaign. And the first class had 25 people in it. And within the next several years, they had trained 5,000 people. And this group became the backbone of a new movement in the city. And then Alice actually began to run political campaigns herself as campaign manager. She taught herself all these different things. And at first, as her daughter told me, all the candidates lost, as her daughter said, because they were good people. But then they started winning, and the offices kept getting bigger. Bill Cousins for alderman, 1967. Ralph Medcalf for Congress, 1976, both with Alice's campaign manager. Then the real turning point when her friend Harold Washington announced that he would, he's actually drafted, they drafted him with a plebiscite to become, to try to become Chicago's first African-American mayor. Harold Washington was reluctant because he already had a good job as congressman. But he said he would run if they raised $100,000 and they got 100,000 new registered voters. They raised the money, but for the new voters, Alice saw a bill in Michigan called Deputy Registrars, where you could register people in public libraries and in high schools. And they got that bill passed in Illinois. And she gave it to her friend Senator Brookins, and he got that bill passed. And it brought in 120,000 new registered voters, and they credit that bill with electing Harold Washington. And it was Harold Washington's victory as mayor that got the attention of a young Barack Obama. And so he came to Chicago for his own political education. So it literally went from that class of 25 to something that Alice told me was beyond what she could imagine in the 60s, that they would see an African-American in the White House. But it would not have happened without Alice, political education class. But she gives the credit to ordinary people. That's you know, she says they're the driving force in all these movements.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with award-winning documentary producer Craig Dudnick.
Is it possible that we hadn't heard of Alice because she was a woman in the movement at the time?
Could be. I mean, it very well could be.
Wow.
But there's so little of the history. You know, it drops off pretty quickly after Dr. King. You know, there's a lot of the movement that is underreported. So, I mean, there's a variety of factors, you know, involved there. And so that's why I had read this from Dr. Du Bois, W.E.D. Du Bois said, one of the best ways to fight racism is an honest telling of history. And so to do this story and for others who are doing the same type of thing, this is a great way to combat racism, to tell people, you know, the truth of what happened.
Wow. Okay. Now, one of the things that you told me when we first got on the phone was that you said you're now in Ferguson, Missouri, that we've been
yes.
seeing so much about in the news, and that you're there with Alice.
Right.
This is a pretty amazing juxtaposition of, I don't know, forces, isn't it?
Well, we want to make the connection. It's very important for them to know that the history, the people taking part in this protest, if they can make the connection to the historic civil rights protest, it not only bolsters, you know, their determination, but it also, there's techniques that were developed, you know, in the civil rights movement that they should know about, that Alice wants to tell them. You know, I can't put words into her mouth, but I think the gist of it is that they should start registering people to vote. Then they should start fielding candidates and then going door to door to elect those candidates and then holding those candidates to account, you know, once they're in office, which is what they did in Chicago. Then you would begin to see some big changes. I think that's the thrust of, you know, of what she's going to tell them, you know, that the issues faced in Ferguson were also faced in Chicago. This is how they dealt with it there, successfully, too.
Well, one sees a lot of reports in the media, and you hear people talking about that this is all in the past. This is all irrelevant. We're all equal. We all have equal opportunity. And if we just, you know, strive ourselves, that, you know, we can be anything, including president of the United States, despite our race. And so this is all just sort of rubbing salt in the wounds and old history. You obviously don't think so.
Well, I think there's no denying the progress made. And the fact that there is an African American in the White House is incredibly significant, especially to young people, you know, of color, who see someone like themselves. So suddenly everything is now opened up that wasn't opened up. So that is a reality. But the tragedy is there's a long way to go in fighting for racial justice. I mean, there's no denying that. It's a big fight, you know, still. And we're seeing that, I mean, you know, in the news, and Ferguson and New York and Cleveland, you know, these terrible incidents that are happening. And so, but I don't think, you know, I think I've never seen Alice, just observing her in a state of despair. She's a fighter, you know, and I think that's what she brings to these places, you know, this determination to fight this, to fight the injustice. And the relevance of Dr. King toward the ongoing fight for justice. She brings that to the table, too. What was Dr. King's technique and the importance of nonviolence? That's a major part of it, too.
Well, okay, you're going to be here in Knoxville on Saturday from 1 to 3. People can see your film and engage in a good conversation about justice.
Well, I look forward to that. We've had great conversations, you know, in different parts of the country about this. What's striking is, you know, and inspiring is the people in Knoxville or Elizabeth City, North Carolina, or in Christiansburg, Virginia, where we've had other screenings. You know, I just draw tremendous inspiration, you know, from the people across the country, because so many of them want to contribute. They just were looking for a way to do it. And, you know, there's a real yearning for justice with most people, and that's you know, that I think is encouraging for our country. Now, if we can just get the history correct in the history books, I think we'll go a long way, you know, toward making that a reality. But in the meantime, I look forward to coming to Knoxville, and I was very impressed with the librarian that you have there, who has invited me to come. So I'm anxious and I'm grateful to you for this radio program to, you know, to have this conversation and to get the word out.
Thanks to Craig Dudnick for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.